Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And good morning. My name is Phil Vacchio.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Dave.
Phil and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and some combo of us is here every single weekend talking to you about estate planning and elder law, wills, trusts, etc. It's a call-in show, and you can reach us at 518-476-5900, or you could reach us in one of our three offices in Albany, up in Saratoga Springs, down in Kingston, by calling us at 518-465-7581. Phil, I need to start by apologizing to everyone.
What's going on, Dave?
Well, I said to myself that winter was over.
I think you said it on the radio last week, too.
I totally jinxed this whole thing. And the optimist in me is saying, well, the grass is going to get greener faster with all this good stuff.
The nutrients from the snow, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I know that's all just a lie.
And I messed up, Dave,
and I apologize to everybody out there.
The fact is, it's cold and wet out there. I have a good 6-7 inches up by me. I walked outside this morning and I was like, whoa, it's all this white stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's what they're calling an elevation storm. So then the further north you go, the more you're going to get.
It's not so bad here in Albany. It's
seems a little less here.
I feel like this will be like in a day and a half, you won't even know it's precipitated here.
Yeah, the March sun kind of melts everything very quick.
But I should have known better, you know. So next year, just remind me, just keep my mouth shut.
You got excited. First day of spring was on the calendar.
No, everybody does, though.
But it was also like 68 degrees outside.
I know.
It's not my fault.
We had a little taste of some record high temperatures in early March. But
well, I just wanted to apologize out there.
It'll pass. We're okay.
Yeah.
So we had a pretty, we had a busy week, but we had a break from some seminars. No seminars this past week.
Oh, no kidding.
No. Yeah.
We were seminar free.
How about the upcoming week?
Seminar free as well, I think.
Got a few weeks off before we kick it back up in into seminar mode. But 2 weeks ago was good.
Well, you know, what happens, John, is that we do the seminars and then there's the aftermath, which is we plant the seeds in everyone's brains and then they come in and talk about it. So it's been, you know, running around like crazy.
Yeah. Right.
I know, Phil, you've had a lot of clients where their real estate holdings are pretty impressive. Mm.
Yeah, interestingly, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've had a number of clients with very similar situations, which is not your typical client, but like you said, real estate heavy, owning multiple properties, many of them rentals or investments, thrown in their family houses, vacation homes, camps, upstate camps, some of those.
Right.
Well, I mean, you're talking sweet spot now with the camps and the lake houses.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm sure people were thinking maybe we'll open up the house a little early this year. Nope.
Anymore. Yeah. Close for a few more weeks.
But you got to start thinking about it.
For sure.
Yeah. Well,
so where do you want to go with this, Phil? You want to go with the people that have 18 properties? You want to go with someone who's got two? What do you want to do?
Either one, right? So let's start with the few of them had a lot. You know, one person had 20 or so. One person had 12. So a lot of real estate holdings, they did a good job of buying up real estate in their early ages and kept it growing, which is fantastic. But both of those two examples, they both held all the properties in their individual names. And that's a big red flag for us to start, right?
Sure. But there's a lot of components to it. So if you're worried about what happens when we die... Well, certainly if you have a joint husband and wife, at least we get, you know, that quote unquote one free death.
Sure.
Where we could avoid probate if one dies, but I think you're going somewhere else with us.
That's not the only consideration. There's a few different things. I mean, there's also a big liability component. So when you own multiple properties like that and you're renting them out, it's exposing you to a higher level of risk. You know, you have a lot of tenants in a lot of these different houses, or if they're, you know, Airbnb type situations and they're renting them out to different people, it's opening you up to a larger potential to be sued. And if you're sued and you own these properties individually, they're going after you and everything that you own.
Yeah.
Right? So now I have, it's just one property. They're suing me at this one property. But hey, they can come after all the properties I own. And that's a big problem. That's really exposing you to a large level of liability.
Oh, boy.
And you may have, you know, big umbrella insurance policies, which is fantastic. But We can also do things to limit the liability, to compartmentalize your assets by creating different kind of corporate entities, right? So instead of me owning them as an individual, what is commonly done is we'll create LLCs. Mm-hmm. And these LLCs can own each separate property. Now, you could be as protective as you like. We can do a separate LLC for every single separate property. That would be obviously your highest level of risk protection, right?
Phil, let me get to step one here.
Let's go back, Dave.
I happen to know the answer to this question, but a lot of people don't. What's an LLC?
Yes. So that's a good question.
Oh, you read my mind.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I was getting there.
What does it stand for? Logistics something something.
So an LLC. Yes, John. So an LLC is a limited liability corporation. So it's a type LLC. Of corporate entity that can own assets like an individual can own assets. It's its own existing entity. It has its own tax ID number. So it's recognized by the government, right? So instead of me, and I could be the owner of the LLC, the member. So I'm still in control, complete control of the assets in the LLC.
Yep.
But the corporate entity, the LLC itself, is the owner of the property. So because when I have multiple properties, if each property is owned by a separate LLC, if I do get sued by a tenant or someone renting at one of those properties.
This is a good example. Today, it's really cruddy outside.
Yeah.
And you didn't get around to doing whatever you're supposed to outside for these various properties. And it freezes overnight. And you know what?
Yeah,
the tenant, a visitor to the tenant, whoever slips and falls, and they say, "Wow, my collarbone is broken. I'm going to sue the pants off of this landlord. Mm-hmm. I think he owns a lot of stuff."
Sure, and that happens all the time, right? Slip and falls, different kinds of accidents at the property.
Who would they be suing if they have an LLC?
So in this instance, if they have an LLC, they're going to have to sue the actual LLC, the corporate entity, because that's the owner of the property. And because that LLC only owns certain assets, it could be just that one property, or maybe they put a few properties in that LLC.
Right.
Those are the only assets that that party is going to be able to go after with the lawsuit.
So they won't be able to go after other properties, personal property, primary residence, any of that stuff because it was an LLC.
Correct. That's the idea, right? So you can limit liability that way by creating separate LLCs. There's also tax benefits to LLCs versus separate type of corporate entities. I won't get into it too much there. We're not accountants, but we deal with that quite often. So with the LLCs, you can kind of pass through the taxes to yourself, which is nice sometimes. Instead of you don't want to get hit with double taxation, as they call it, with different kind of corporate entities. So the LLC has that benefit too. So we create these LLCs for different properties. But then you mentioned earlier, what about, probate? If I pass away, I have this real estate empire, all these different properties that I own, I have them in entities.
Or one rental property.
Or it could be one rental property, yes, exactly. So we can get the best of both worlds, so we can avoid all that liability there. And we can also avoid probate because certain types of trusts can own the LLC. And I can be the trustee of certain kind of trusts, so I can maintain complete control. So I'm protected on the liability standpoint, but also if I pass away, if I have a spouse and kids, they don't have to go to court, go through the probate, which we talk about all the time. And the entities can pass to them directly in the LLC ownership, which is good here too, because not only going through probate, it also could be some sort of business interruption. So if I'm operating, if I want to sell the house right away, or I'm looking to collect rent from the tenant, if I have to go through probate, that can create delays that would result in a loss of certain types of, business revenue, if you will.
So, Phil, we don't have to pick a road between we're going to plan in case tenants rise against us or if in case we get old and need nursing homes. You could actually do both, right? Yeah. So you could have shares of your LLC be owned by a trust, right? You can be an owner of an LLC. You could have a trust be an owner of an LLC if you wanted to. So you're able to protect assets while you're alive in case there's a nursing home event, knowing also that upon our passing, we're avoiding probate because the trust owns the shares of that LLC, and so on.
Correct. And depending on your age or situation, it can be a revocable trust. We talk about that sometimes. If we're not yet concerned about liability protection, revocable trusts can own LLCs to avoid probate. But it can be owned by a Medicaid Asset Protection Trust because that kind of trust is a grantor trust.
Yeah.
which means for IRS purposes, it's a disregarded entity. So it can own the membership of the LLCs as well and protect the assets if I get sick when I'm older and need nursing home care or need home care. So it's a benefit to your family on multiple different levels. You don't want to be exposed to all those rental lawsuits. You want to avoid probate. We want to protect the assets if I get sick from Medicaid. There's many different avenues we can go with that, but owning all those properties in your own name is not a good idea. Bottom line.
Now, it doesn't mean that every single property has to have its own entity, because there's obviously some background, right? You got to create an entity. There's going to be an operating agreement. There might be, you know, the books,
sure,
so to speak, for this entity. We don't want it to be an entity in name only, and people are able to do what they call piercing the corporate veil,
right,
et cetera. So it's a real, I mean, you got to treat it like a real thing, and it's a pass-through entity. So when it does come to taxes, well, wait a minute, what's my tax return going to look like? A lot like it already did.
Yeah.
Just like with the Medicaid trusts, it's a pass-through entity. Now, LLCs are one route. There's also something else you mentioned, which was an umbrella insurance policy. So everyone out there, you own a house, you have property casualty insurance on your house, and that amount will cover, you know, whatever it takes to rebuild a house if there was a fire or something, God forbid, like that. There's also probably in your homeowner's policy small amounts of coverage or smaller amounts in case of, you know, someone falling and so on. And you could actually get a lot of additional insurance to kind of cover things,
yeah,
like a rental property.
And the umbrella insurance policies, as far as I know, I have them myself, they're relatively cheap. They're a lot cheaper than other type of insurance policies. So it's, you can get a lot of coverage for not that expensive.
Yeah, and by the way, you said we're not accountants. We also are not insurance brokers. We did not stay at a Holiday Inn. We don't know anything about anything like the commercial used to go, other than law. But we do see lots of clients with different kinds of assets, and then they decide to protect those assets in different ways. Umbrella policies, LLCs, sometimes a little bit of both.
Well, the idea is it's good to combine all these things, right? Look at every avenue, get extra protection. Talk to your attorneys, us, about, you know, the legal side with the LLCs and the trusts. Speak to your insurance representative. Speak to your accountant. Everyone should be on the same page, especially when you own multiple properties or you're operating a business. You have, yep, to look at every angle. Not one angle by itself is not going to solve all your issues.
Now, related to rental properties, not something I think we were planning on talking about, but just popped in my brain. Rental properties make money, ideally. That's why you did it. And if you're ever on Medicaid, if you're meeting with Phil and he's going to do a Medicaid application for dad's nursing home or home care, income from a rental property is income.
It still counts as income, yeah.
However, so, you know, what's your income from, you know, Medicaid cares about your income. They care about your Social Security, your pension, what you reported on that tax return as income. However, with rental properties, we actually can make money while on paper, not make money.
Yeah.
Because there are lots of deductions and there's lots of depreciation. And so later on in life, if we do have clients that need skilled nursing, they need home care, and they have rental properties, we're not that concerned about that income. We know we can kind of play with that a little bit, so to speak, Phil, where we can, you know, it's another asset where maybe a client's obligated to make repairs. So when it comes to home care, and trying to protect someone's income with one of those pooled income trusts, as an example, we likely are going to be able to use excess income to pay for things like rental property expenses or improvements. And it's not as big of an income item as you would think.
Yeah.
Someone who's got a bunch of rental properties might still need to do a Medicaid trust because they're not, you know, such a large real estate conglomerate that they can just cash flow all of their long-term care needs. You're still going to need to do that old school asset protection within the protect my assets if I'm okay, but I just get sued.
Yeah, everything is still very situational to your particular situation, right? So we have to look at those factors and determine how the income is treated, what's best for you. You know, we always say this, what's right for one person is not right for the next necessarily. So it all depends on a lot of different factors.
I think you put a pin in it. That's perfect.
Yeah.
We'll be right on back purpose. With the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And my name is Phil Vacchio.
Phil and I are two of the attorneys from Herzog Law. We're doing estate planning and elder law, but you might think it was a real estate show, Phil. Based on the first half hour, first 15 minutes of the show.
No, if our friend John B. is coming in after this, so he's probably listening.
He's probably listening. John knows a lot about rental properties.
Oh, yeah.
And the idea of protecting them, first of all, getting them is a wonderful idea, as long as you're, you know, those clients must be pretty handy, Phil. I couldn't own 18 rental properties. I'm not handy. You save a lot of money by doing the stuff yourself.
You can.
Yeah, but that's hard.
Either that or you got to get a good property manager to do those things for you. So yeah, it depends. Yeah.
That's right.
But real estate's a big part of people's estates. A lot of times, even if you have just your house, it's one of your most valuable assets. So we deal with it on the protection side every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, home is also a really important thing for our clients because most of our clients want to get their long-term care at home. And if I may, I'd like to walk you through a fact pattern from yesterday.
Please.
The last appointment of the week. And it was a doozy, okay? So it was all about dad. Dad's in rehab right now. Familiar kind of fact pattern, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know when Medicare will cut out, but we are approaching the 20th day of rehab. So we know that means that we're at least going to be paying a little bit of money based on the way they have their Medicare. There might be that copay that the family will have for up to the next 80 days. But the family has some suspicions that the rehab facility is going to say he no longer needs rehab.
All right, so let me make sure I follow. So it was in the hospital likely first, went to rehab.
Yeah.
Those 20 days that Medicare covers are now over or they're about to end. And then there's a lot of uncertainty in days 21 to day 100, right? Because we don't know how much longer Medicaid is going to cover at least that portion that you referenced.
Yeah, that Medicare will cover the rehab.
Yeah.
And the family is faced with them saying he doesn't need rehab anymore, in which case, if he stays in the nursing facility, that's a $600 day per day.
Private pay at that
every
point.
Day.
Yeah.
Or Medicare says we'll continue to cover you during some rehab. We don't know how long we'll cover you for, but there'll be a copay of about $5,500 a month or so that they're going to be faced with, maybe closer to six.
But if Medicare feels that he doesn't need rehab anymore,
they cut off completely. At any point.
Right. Yeah.
So we're entering this new where nothing is guaranteed, and one way or another, it's going to cost a lot more money if he stays where he is. But also, home is not ready for him.
Yeah.
And when I say home is not ready for him, I mean his wife is not ready for him.
So this is a true example of crisis mode here, right?
Yeah, and this is like central casting type stuff because we've seen this so many darn times. So I wish we had a conversation with the family on day one of the rehab. I wish we had a conversation with them 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? And they did do a trust. They didn't do it with us, but they did do a trust, and it has the markings of the right kind of trust. And they did it 40 months ago.
Ooh, okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, John, five-year look back equals 60 months.
Yes.
Right? So 3 years and 4 months equals 40 months. So we are not at the five-year mark.
No, not yet.
But getting close.
Getting close.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the lay of the land right now. Okay? They won't be thrilled with people in their house helping take care of and in their lives, right?
Yeah.
At the same time, we know staying where they are is about to get very expensive, plus it's a nursing home, which they didn't want to be in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that there's a spouse that is in the house,
okay.
Not to be Dr. Seuss on you, But that's an important fact, because I know if dad needed, if husband needed a nursing home for the rest of his life starting tomorrow, I can make him qualified starting April 1st.
Yep.
And that house will not count against them because she happens to live there. So far, so good. Now, here's the problem.
All right.
And I could see Phil smart. He's sharp, and he already picked up on
it. The wheels are turning.
I can't apply for Medicaid for this gentleman and get him approved because in the previous 5 years, there has been a transfer. There has been a gift. They gifted their house to their trust. They didn't make it 5 years yet, John.
Okay.
So this trust that you're referring to, right, it's one of the irrevocable quote-unquote trusts that we often refer to, right?
Yes. Okay.
So how do we deal with that? If we had to be in a nursing home long-term, it's an irrevocable trust. Yeah. What can we do with that?
So let me start by saying that all of this stinks to high heaven, okay? This stinks because there's no great answer. Because if you say, well, wait a minute, maybe he's able to go home. That seems like a great answer. Okay, well, we're going to have round-the-clock care based on his needs. Mm-hmm. He's in the dementia family. He's also a fall risk. He's the reason why he was
so checks all the boxes.
He broke several parts of his body, and that's why he is where he is.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So home is going to be a new version of home where there's going to be round-the-clock care, and that's not mom's not thrilled about that.
And potential changes for accessibility. There's probably a lot that has to be done to make that home.
So that's version. That's probably plan A.
Right? All right.
Plan B is he stays where he is while we try to figure out getting home care situated, because we're kind of running out of time, but we're going to private pay for while he's still there.
Well, wait a minute. What if you don't have money for that private pay?
Well, they happen to, but
okay, all right.
If you don't, we're running. Right. We run out of that option.
My thought process.
We'll run out of that option.
Yeah. Okay.
If you do.
Okay.
So, Bill, he can go home. That's got its own issues, and community Medicaid doesn't just, you know, I can get you qualified fast. We'll talk about the look back period. We'll come back with the look back period in a second.
Okay.
But we can get you qualified real fast.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But that still means it's going to take months.
Yeah, that's the easy part nowadays, on our side at least. Then there's the fact of finding aids that are available.
I told them we were looking at after July 4th.
Yeah, that's not
okay. That's a long time. So during that time, you're private paying for home, trying to figure it out. If he stays where he is while you try to figure it out because it's going to be too messy at home, well, then you're private paying the facility, at least the copay rate, and likely the full boat, and $600 a day is $18,000 a month at that facility.
Per month.
Yeah.
So that's going to be expensive to do.
Yeah.
Or, like I said, because of spouse being in the house and something called spouse refusal, we can get dad qualified next month for the nursing home.
Sure.
However, to do so, guys, I need to pull the house out of the trust.
So we have to undo that irrevocable trust and transfer the house back.
I can do it, but there's ramifications because we're no longer 20 months from the 60-month look back being cleared.
Right.
We start at square one.
Oh, wow.
For mom, right?
Well, yeah. So the question is, how's mom doing? How's mom's health?
Yeah.
How's dad doing? What's his prognosis?
Right.
Is he long for this earth?
Yeah.
I have to ask these icky questions, Bill. Where are the tea leaves here? Because there's no good options. And the family, the kids that I talked to, they were very knowledgeable and they were very in tune with these different options. They were picking it up very quickly. But they didn't seem to like either any of the options because every option has its own negative to
it. They probably want the best of both worlds.
Oh, we don't want to reset the 5 years. We're almost there. Well, then you're going to private pay. Well, we don't want to private pay. We want them to go at home. Well, then that's fine, but you will private pay at home, and mom, who is resistant to having help, is going to need help 24/7 for her husband.
Yeah.
So we got to pick a really bad option here out of the three and kind of pick the least worst option.
So even in the best case, if he comes home and we do what's called an immediate need community Medicaid application.
Join the club, Phil. Everyone's doing immediate
needs. Right? Everyone does immediate needs. I don't have care and I need it now. We fill out there's an extra doctor form. There's an extra what they call attestation form to claim there's no care in place. But even with that quote-unquote immediate need expedited application, the application will be processed fast, but it still could be time before there's an actual aid being provided. I mean, that's the big issue right now, in my opinion, with community Medicaid. And it sounds like the family didn't want to hear that. They want care from day one at home.
Yeah, and several times I said, guys, we're in a new world here, yeah. and like all of this is bad. Nothing that I'm saying is good, and we just have to deal with it. And I also said to them, and look, they had another attorney, Phil, do their Medicaid trust.
Okay.
They came to us. Why'd they come to us? And I normally, on the radio, I'm always like, all right, there's a lot of good attorneys, and, you know, just fine. You know, I don't want to be so Herzog, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, when it's this kind of scenario, and we're playing four or five different mini scenarios within it, and taking the facts in.
Yeah.
Whether it's you or Jay Marie or myself, and then when we get our paralegals involved or Kim, I truly believe we are uniquely qualified to handle these kinds of fact patterns because there are so many moving parts. And it's not just, oh, yeah, we'll get him qualified, because you got to think about that look back period being reset. Yeah. It might blow up in our face. And the general consensus of the family, Phil, was, man, it would be great if we can get through another 20 months.
Sure.
Those 20 months will be a version of living hell for mom and dad, perhaps, because they're in their own home. It's a turnstile of caregivers, perhaps.
Yeah.
Maybe they find someone great. And I shared some personal stories with them about what's happened to members of my family and how it all can work out.
There are many great examples of it working.
And how it may, but that's not a promise. We're hoping.
We can't promise that.
And if I can, and we'll talk about the look back period in just a second here. A lot of the options would be better, Phil, if they did a trust 5 years and 1 month ago.
Well, everybody wishes that in that situation,
Phil, this is a big deal because if they had, we do get him qualified for the nursing home. So we know while we're getting home situated, the plan is to bring him home.
Right. We keep him there in the meantime.
Keep him there. Mm-hmm. Have Medicaid cover. Now, guess what? One more piece of it. We're about to lose a lot of his income one way or the other if he's not at home.
Yeah.
Well, they said we need his income to pay the bills. I said, guys, I'm sorry, but if we want the government to cover that $18,000 a month nursing home, it's not going to be for free. There will be some pieces of the fact pattern where we're giving back to the government.
Wow.
It's all super, super complicated. Now, what is really great, Phil, is that it sounds like we don't have to worry about April 1st anymore.
Sounds like.
Yeah.
Not definite. So April 1st that you're referring to is the potential start of the 2.5 30-month look-back period for community Medicaid. So that's the Medicaid you were just referring to, Dave, getting care at home. And right now, up to now, it's always been that there's no look-back. I could transfer millions of dollars today and get the person qualified the following month. That is supposed to change when a 2.5-year look-back comes into play.
But they all know this, Phil. They've been listening for years and years. Yeah, all you listeners, you know this.
We've become the boy who cried wolf, unfortunately.
Well, I think we're
But that's
again,
not our fault.
I think we've cried it again.
Yeah, so informally, the New York State Department of Health has said that it's going to be pushed back till at least sometime in 2025. But of course, they won't give us the courtesy of giving us something in writing yet.
We have texts. We have text messages from people in the know saying, it looks like it'll be 2025. And
it looks like.
Or you need something indicators. Official, right?
Yeah, so we have a stock answer we're saying to everyone now until something's official, which is none of this changes the fact that it's always a great idea to plan ahead of time.
Right.
Because there will be a change one day.
Yeah, and the cases we're filing now, just in case you're getting in, but one day there'll be a 2.5-year look back.
This is a packed show.
Lots of content.
Yes, indeed.
Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.